As we prepare to hear and receive God's word this morning, let us pray as we go to God's word. Come, Holy Spirit, blow into all the places where we find ourselves and into our hearts, that in the reading and proclaiming of your word, life may be breathed into us. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from Ezekiel, chapter 37, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied, as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you back to the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power?" All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning." You can laugh at that. That's funny. "No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and the signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Somebody asked me recently if I'd taken to drinking coffee up here while I was preaching, and there is water in here. But this was given to me. I meant to mention earlier, this was given to me by somebody who shall remain nameless in this congregation for Christmas. It's a mug that says, "Help, I'm preaching and I can't shut up." So it is my reminder up here, and I'm going to try to heed that a little this morning. So both of these passages, the Ezekiel and the Acts passage, these are at least somewhat familiar texts to us. One of them probably really familiar to us. The dry bones passage from Ezekiel may be familiar to you, if not from the passage itself, perhaps from the song. Right? I'm not going to sing it, don't worry, but... It's the foot bone connected to the leg bone, right? The leg bone connected to the knee bone and on up the skeleton until you get to, "Oh, hear the word of the Lord, dem bones, gonna walk around." Do you know that song? Yeah, some of you may be familiar with this passage from singing that song. And this Pentecost passage from Acts certainly to many of us, I know, is a very familiar text. I know that because it comes around every single year. And so ironically, the danger is that this passage, this story, this account about the new and reinvigorated calling and purpose and the courage and boldness and this event that sets the church there on an adventure into new and uncharted waters, learning to follow the Spirit in all sorts of twists and turns and new ways and into the newness of what God is doing, because it is so familiar, and because it comes around every single year, it can ironically become for us a stale and dusty story. A valley of dry bones, if you will, with all the structure of something good and glorious, but without being incarnate in our lives, it can still show up in our lives without the breath of life in it. The disciples were all there, gathered in that one place. It was not too long ago for them that Jesus, their friend, their rabbi, their Lord, had been taken from them. First through betrayal by one of their own and by the Roman guards as he was arrested and then crucified. But then, miracle of miracles, he had risen, resurrected, and over the course of a week or so, and then on for a few more, he made himself known again to them in the breaking of bread, blessed, broken, and given. And in the scars on his hands and his feet and in his side, himself blessed, broken, and given. But then he said he had to go again, only this time to ascend to the Father, but that even so, he would send another advocate, the Holy Spirit. And so now here they are, gathered together in that room, again, waiting, wondering. And you can probably imagine the nervous, anxious energy in that room about as they were waiting and wondering what indeed the future would actually hold for them. We have spent the better part of these past 14 months not gathered together, but rather we have been scattered out in our own rooms and homes. A good portion of these past 14 months not able to be here in this place together, not able to be in a lot of the places we would like to be. And when we have been able, it's been in a very limited, even confining sort of way. But now, as more and more are able to be vaccinated and things are opening up, right? These past few weeks, we've had more people the past couple of weeks here in the sanctuary than we've had in over a year. And as things are able to open up more and more, and that is, boy, that is a good thing, and an exciting thing, and a joyous thing, and something to absolutely be celebrated. But even so, we have spent the past 14 months finding ways to be the church, even to do something as routine as weekly worship and all sorts now of different ways and places over the past year, 14 months or so. Living rooms, dining rooms, who knows where else? Varied and diverse and even unexpected places all over the place became, at least for an hour or so each week, a sanctuary of sorts, a place to gather, whether gathering with a household or a few friends or even just gathering your own thoughts and life together for worship. And there have been connections online and in some ways that have even widened and expanded the voice and the welcome of the church, perhaps even in your own life, finding ways to connect with people you know living far away, now kind of forced to find these new ways to do that. I know some of you have been doing reading with grandchildren that live far away, have had regular reading times. We found these new ways to be together. We've made connections with local groups, like Woonsocket Community Meal, who serves lunch on Sundays to those in our communities that are in need of a meal. And I find myself wondering, had our Sunday mornings been the pre-pandemic routine, right, would we have felt free to even begin to consider and look into something like that? Would that involvement have even seemed possible, given what was our normal routines 14, 15 months ago? And yet here we are. I believe strongly in the need for the church to come and gather together, to share space together, to share time together, to be present together, for the church to be incarnate together in the particulars of time and place. That is a good thing. That is a holy and sacred thing. That is a holy and sacred calling for the church. Because that is who Jesus is, right? God showing up incarnate in the particulars of time and space. And so that is a part of who we are and what makes us who we are. But I also know that that can become a dangerous thing for us. Because in striving to get back to something like that, no matter how good or wonderful or even necessary it is, the danger is that we can then lose what we have gained in the meantime. We can try so hard to get back to the bones and structures of what we had that we end up forgetting about the breath of life that yes, has been blowing in new ways all this time. These past 14 months have not been without the breath of God blowing into them. And so for all that risk and maybe even danger of this Pentecost passage feeling stale and dry and dusty because we know it so well, as it comes around again and again every year in all its familiarity, I am so grateful that it does come around again and again every year, and certainly no more so than in this year. As we are perhaps waiting with our own nervous and anxious excitement about what comes next, about what the future may hold, this story that is often called the birth of the church comes to us each year, not as a simple call back to what was, but as a call to lift up and to see the places of growing and growth, to see the ways that God has been blowing into our lives all this time, the new things that have come about, the places where the Spirit has been and may yet be blowing, the places where life is being found, and even the seemingly driest places and times. And also those yet to be places that we might find the Spirit leading us into. Because that's what the Spirit does, right? The wind blows, Jesus once said. It blows where it chooses. And you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going, right? At least until you jump into it. Birthdays are wonderful times of celebration. And yes, even of looking back, but only because we can then marvel at the growth that has happened, the life that has happened, the life that is happening, the life that is being renewed and grown into, right? Even with all the growing pains that come with it. And so there they all were, gathered together in that room as disciples of Jesus, with nervous and even anxious expectation of what may come next. And the Spirit showed up and blew into and blew out from that room, the wind of God rattling and shaking, breath and new life breathed into the gathered people, calling and empowering them into new ways of proclaiming the steadfastness of what God has done, the good news that God is doing, the good news that is yet but will be proclaimed in all sorts of new ways. Standing on what has come before, certainly, absolutely anchored to the sacred past and the steadfast faithfulness of God, anchored to the person and work of Jesus Christ in history, anchored to what the Spirit had spoken ages ago through the prophets, and even further, all the way back to those waters of creation, the Spirit always calling new life, always calling what is dry and dusty to get up and live. But now, ignited and blowing in and through and out in a new way, not just for those gathered, not just for that select few, but all flesh, all around heard and saw, sons and daughters, young and old, captives and free, peoples of every tongue, called to be a part of what God is doing, and called to then go out in new and unexpected ways, and all the beautiful variety of word and deed proclaiming this very good news of Jesus Christ. I have done half a dozen sermons with this Acts Pentecost passage here at Calvin. But this year, I'm not sure we need anything more than to simply have this here before us. Especially now, as we are on the cusp of going back or going forward. I'm not sure that we need a deep theological take on this so much as we simply need renewed and refreshed ears. Simply hear the breath, the wind, the Spirit of God calling us, like these first disciples, calling us in, but only so we can continue to be called out into the ever-renewing newness of God's future. And to have renewed and refreshed eyes to simply keep this image, this vision, this promise before us and in us. And so this morning, I invite us to let this just be our prayer. Let this be our prayer, Calvin Church. Let this be simply the vision that we hold before us, calling to us. And let it be the lens through which we look expectantly, even with all the anxious and nervous expectation of these times in which we live. This would be what is before us and what we are looking at the world through and looking at our lives as people and as a people, what we are looking, the lens through which we look, so that as we open up, we do not get closed in to what may just become dry and dusty, but rather that we follow where the winds of the Spirit leads, where the winds of the Spirit blows. May our gatherings be occasions not for dry bones and structures, but so that the wind of the Spirit may blow across and the breath of the Spirit may be breathed in and into us, into our lives and into our life together, that we may so live and move and have our being, living into that eternal life that we talked about these past few weeks in 1 John, that we may be open to, seeking out even with expectation, anxiousness and all, the Spirit leading us to new places, proclaiming the gospel, the peace of Christ made in us and flowing through us in all its power, in all sorts of ways. Some renewed, new breath and new life breathed into what was and still is, and some quite new altogether. Standing on the past, yes, anchored to what God has done, anchored to the person of Jesus Christ and the steadfast faithfulness of his promises, yes. And even in that, standing in a way on the things of this past year, that even in these times, if we hear this Pentecost promise rightly, if we hear the word of the Lord spoken to all those dry bones rightly, there has yet been a breath of new life blowing in and across, even in this and through this past year. And so I simply invite us, as we in these next days and weeks and months and year, as we rightly rejoice and celebrate getting back to a lot of what we had lost and did not have this past year, the challenging promise and the promising challenge of Pentecost sets before us so that we do so in a way that keeps us expectantly on the lookout for all the new ways the Spirit may be blowing in and through and out. That in what otherwise might just be a bunch of dry, dusty bones and structures of what was, the Spirit breathing life into what could yet be. Can these bones live? Whether that is the question that is deep in us or in you, in your bones, in your individual life, or it is the question in our bones and our life together, the answer, the promise to you and to us together, I will put my Spirit within you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord. Beloved, the very promise of God, the very breath of life for the people of God, may we have ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to receive, hands, feet, and voices to proclaim. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit, indeed. Amen.